You were telling me that you took up domestic work?
Mm-hmm. Most of my work was domestic.
And working for white people.
Right? Yes, that's right. That's the only work we could get. And then, and their children. That's most what they wanted you to do, take care of their children. And take care of the house, like clean up. And I didn't know much about cooking, but I learned how.
And that's what you did, with cooking and taking care of the house, yes, and the children.
Uh-huh.
Now tell me about your brothers and sisters. You said B.A., Benjamin, did, yes, graduate from Hampton Institute.
Mm-hmm,
that's right?
Yes.
Now, what about Madeline? She went to
school. Well, she went to Atlanta. My grandmother took her out there.
She was the one that went to Atlanta?
Went to Atlanta, went to Morris Brown College. She finished there.
And she finished there.
Mm-hmm.
What did she end up doing?
She taught after she finished. First teaching job she had was right there in the college with the little children. They had little children. She taught them first. 2 years right there at Morris Brown. She was good on children. Then she got a job at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I believe. She taught up there a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Then she went, she lived up there too. Then she went back to Atlanta, where her grandparents was. And she went to New York for some reason. I think she went to New York to go to summer school. And she never taught again.
Oh,
she stayed in New York and she got a job and worked there. I don't know what kind of work she was doing in New York. But that's where she ended up at, and she lived there in New York until she died.
Hmm.
And was buried there.
What about your brother J.B., the oldest child?
Yes, he's the one who went to World War Number One.
That's right.
He finished here too, this school, eighth grade. And he was called in the Army. And he said they trained them in the Army to do certain things. Some boys had to go to school.
I thought he was in the Navy.
Well, Navy, wherever he was, they trained him. They
sent
him to school.
Because he was a signal corps.
That's right, he did so. He did that. And he was a mechanic. I don't know where he learned that, in the Army or just took it up, but he was
in the Navy.
Yeah, in the Navy. He was a natural born mechanic. That's the kind of work he did after he came home.
Mm-hmm. And what about Almina? Did she have
Well, she went to Hampton too, but she did not finish.
Oh, she didn't finish
no.
either?
She went to, my sister, older sister had gone to New York then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after she didn't come home, she left there and went to New York where her sister was. And she got a job and went to work there. She didn't go back to school anymore.
Oh, so Almina stayed in New York along with Madeline?
Yeah, long with her. And she stayed there until she died there and was buried there. Almina and Madeline.
Now, did either of them get married?
Well, Almina did.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband died. But Madeline never married.
Never married.
But either one of them had no children.
What about Benjamin and J.B.?
Well, Benjamin married after he finished college. And he and his wife didn't have any children. They lives in New York right now. They're living in New York.
Yes, ma'am.
J.B. didn't marry my oldest brother until he came out of the Navy. Then he married. He promised this girl he would marry her when he come out of the Army. All the other boys here was marrying their girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
But he promised this girl that he would wait until he come back. I don't think he thought he wasn't going to live to get back.
Huh?
And sure enough, he did. When he came back, he married her. And they lived together until they died. And he's the one who had all the children, 9 children.
He's the one with a large family.
Right. He's the only one.
And this is all your nieces and nephews.
Yeah, that's who take care of me. Now, my nieces right here.
Oh, that's one. They live near you?
They're up on the hill. That's my brother's daughter.
Oh.
Cornelia named after me, and this is her daughter, right here. This is my great-niece.
Right next door?
Yeah, right next here.
That's wonderful.
And the other ones, others, is all up north, the nephews and the other nieces. It's 4 boys, 3 girls living. 4 boys and 3 girls.
Oh, that's wonderful. Who was the first person in your family to attend college? Would that have been Madeline?
Yes, it was Madeline. She's the oldest. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we know when she... Where she went to college. Do you remember when she graduated from college? What year about that would have been?
I believe it was around 20 or something like 22, I believe.
Somewhere in there, though.
I went out there when she finished.
Oh, you did? You attended
graduation? I attended the graduation. They had to march from their house, from the schoolhouse to the church. They always would have it in the church.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too far from the church. The schoolhouse wasn't too far from the church where they had their graduation exercise. And I remember she spoke. You know, they always have somebody to speak. And you know how they would speak in those days? They would walk back and forth on the stage to that end of speaking now. Just walking to that end.
They did?
And Madeline, she forgot it one time a lot. And she just kept walking till it came to her. Then she started right back. And another boy spoke too. And he did the same thing. He forgot. And he just kept walking till after a while it come to her. And he spoke right up. Two of them, that boy and my sister Madeline, was the two speakers that night.
Were they the two top graduates, what we call valedictorian and salutatorian now?
I think that's what they were.
That kind of thing, was outstanding.
That's right. That's why they had been speakable. Sure, my sister and this other boy. That was in Atlanta when she finished Morris Brown.
How many of you went? Did all the family go?
Nobody but me. I was the only one that went. Yeah, with my father. He didn't go. He sent me.
Oh, I see.
I said to her,
was your grandmother still living, or had she passed
away? Oh, yes, she was still living.
Grandmother was still alive, so she went too then.
Oh, yes.
You went with her.
Yes. Oh, it wasn't for my grandmother. She wouldn't have finished. She came here and begged my father to let her take her back to Atlanta, put her through school. And she and her other daughters, I had my aunts out there too.
Oh, I see.
Well, they all had put through school. Yes, my grandmother was living. She was so proud of her, she didn't know what to do.
I'm sure she won.
I was about 26 years old when grandmother died.
So you were under 20 then when Madeline had the graduation?
Sure. I think about in 22 since she graduated. As I can remember.
But right around the 20s someplace.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere along in there.
Did your family have books at home?
And what books?
Books. Any books that they read?
Yeah, I had our school books. That was the only thing we would read. Wasn't no magazines or nothing out.
No, what about newspapers?
Newspapers, yeah. My father, he took newspapers all the time. This was a paper by the name of Grit. That's what he liked so
much. Paper called Grit?
Grit, yeah.
Was that a Pendleton paper?
No, or it wasn't printed in Pendleton. I don't wear that paper.
Anderson County, maybe?
I think that paper came from a bigger city than Anderson.
Oh.
The Grit. I heard them advertise that paper here on the TV here one day. Now, see, that's the very paper my father used to read, and he took the Anderson paper, too. He liked to read, and he could read good, so he had some schooling from somewhere.
But you don't really know where.
Mm-mm.
Where the schooling?
I know that man taught him the carpenter trade, but going to school, he must have gone somewhere, but he didn't talk to us very much about
it. But he had to learn, he had to learn the reading and writing someplace,
yes, he
but
had
you don't
to learn.
Know where.
No.
And he did read well.
Yes, he did, because he wouldn't have been taking those papers if he couldn't read.
Did you have a Bible? And
yes, he would read his Bible, and he would have it on the post, reading it all the time. He would underscore a lot of things he wanted to find or know about. He had a red pen. I remember he would put that red mark under so many verses. That Bible here somewhere in the house now.
You have any other favorite books that you remember anybody else read or something you especially liked?
I tell you, back in those days much we didn't have any kind of books much to read.
Just the school books.
Yeah, after I grew up and in my 20s or teens, no. Yes, I read some books. I know I read Robinson Crusoe's book.
By Daniel Defoe. Yeah, that's a good book to read.
Wasn't he?
Defoe. Daniel Defoe.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good book to read.
Wasn't that a story?
Oh, I loved it.
And there's some other little old books around here I read. I don't know where I got them from. But I used to like to read stories. But since I lost my sight, it's just
too hard.
Awful, yeah. I just have to put up with things.
Did your teachers ever talk about Black history at all in school?
And I don't remember them talking about
or any famous black men or famous.
Oh, yes. I had a book here with a lot of black people in it. Paul Lawrence Dunbar and Fred Douglass. All those men were black.
And that's a book you had, though.
That wasn't in school. That was a book I had here. I don't know where it came from.
Did they ever read any works of black authors back then?
I don't remember. They might have.
Were your schools different from the white schools at that time?
I don't know how different they could have been, because I didn't go to any of them. Had never been in one of theirs, but I guess they were teaching the same thing.
Well, I mean, did they go longer to school, maybe, or
yeah,
have bigger schools?
They might have. I know they had better schools, much better schools. We had that little two-room school around there on the Church Street it is now.
Hmm.
No, they had much, much better schools. And more teachers and all. I don't know how on earth we first started a school.
You don't have any idea how it first began? This Rosenwald that started the school, who was he? He was a white man.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea why he started?
Because they didn't have good school, and some of them didn't have any at all.
And he felt there was a need.
That's right.
What kind of work did he do? Was he a...
He was an educator. I don't know what else he did outside of that. It's a Rosenwald's book about the school. I think my niece got the book. They gave it to us down here in the center. We call this place Community Center now, where the school was. They built another one over here. And they had that book down there, given around to people to read. I don't know whether my niece took one or not.
Do you think he was an educator or a businessman?
Oh, he had to be. Well, he had to be both to do that, I think.
Someone said they thought he was Jewish. You think he was Jewish?
He might have been a Jew. I never got to see him. I don't know whether he was living then when he built those schools.
Hmm. You never met him. You didn't know what he... Mm-mm. You never met him. You didn't
never
see
had.
Him.
Only thing, I just heard his name and knew what he did for us.
That's wonderful. Did he have any family here still that you know? Did he live in Pendleton or was he near? No, he didn't live in Pendleton.
Yeah. It's all in that book about his story. If I could get hold of one of them again. You could read it. I believe Elsie Thompson may have one.
Okay, maybe we can do that later.
Yes, yep.
Do you remember when you were small, were there any educational groups or organizations in your community?
None as I know. Not in my race, it wasn't.
Might have been in the white, but not in the black.
No.
What kind of organizations did your older relatives belong to when you were young? Did anybody belong to any kind of a fraternal society? Or a burial society, or a sewing club, or anything I haven't named?
The women of the church had some kind of society. I don't know the name of it, whether it had a name. They said they had to go to their society. And my father, I know they had an organization called the Odd Fellows. And the women, they called those women Ruthites, the father's wives or daughters or sisters or something like that. That was an organization. But that wasn't too far back. Then they had other societies, like fraternities, like Masons. Well, that's an old organization, Masons. And other ones.
Do you know any of the leaders of those or when they were organized?
My father and these men here in Pendleton organized this Odd Fellow. Now, I don't know the beginning of it, but I just knew the members.
Right.
Some of the members here of that. My father was a staunch Odd Fellow. But you know that went out before he died. This first year, before he died. And this other one was another one. Pete's, he was an undertaker. He organized a society called Pete's Barrel Aid. Because he was an undertaker. I guess he was getting the people up so they could he could bear them. And they had to pay a little money or something like that. And when they died, they got something. That played out. Of course, he died, but there's plenty of members could have carried it on, but that broke up. They broke up that, and some others, I don't know whether it lasted, still lasting or not.
Do you know any of these groups met, or how often they met?
They would meet once a month, most all of them.
You know where?
Well, they had some special place. Some of them had a hall they would meet in. I know these Odd Fellows built one of their own right down the street here. They used to meet in. They built it themselves, and after so long, when they dispersed it, went away, and I don't know what they did with the hall, sold it, I guess.
Did any of these groups do anything for the community, any services or anything, any helpful things that they did?
Nothing as I know. They have the great annual to do every once a year, big meeting, and all the Odd Fellows from the other little towns would come together, have a big association, something like the camp meeting. I remember that much.
Do you know if any members of your family voted in the 19th
century? Oh, they wasn't even voting then.
Oh, they didn't
just
vote
started
then.
Voting here in my day.
Your day.
We did now. The black people wasn't voting. The white probably was voting.
Yeah, but none of you all were. No. You don't remember your father voting or
I don't know anything about
or your brothers later. Do you have any idea? Do you know who the first member of your family was to vote then?
I don't know my family, but I heard there was another family here in Pendleton, this man was the first voter. I could ought to remember when we began voting. Was it in the 30s or the 40s? I believe it was just in the 40s.
You don't think it was until the 40s before your family started voting?
I don't think it was, because when they first started, everybody could. I voted the very first time and been voting ever since, every year.
And you think it was in the 40s?
I'm trying to think.
Were you born in 1900? Can you remember about how old you were when you first voted?
That's what I'm trying to think of. How old was I? I'm trying to think of the year we first started voting, because a lady and myself, this woman was a minister, was a preacher, and she came and told me, said, come on, let's go vote. I said, can we vote? She said, yes, and well, you better come on and let's go do it. And we went. She carried me.
Was it before the Second World War?
I believe so. I believe it was. I could ask somebody about that and get the very date of it.
Do you know if any of your ancestors were free before the Civil War?
I can't think back that far.
You didn't hear that?
You know, these people, I'm telling you, the main southern states that had slaves, all of them wasn't in slavery. South Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, I believe those are the main states. All these states didn't have slaves like those. People wasn't under slavery. But these I know was the main states. South Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, and I believe Alabama. It might have been more. Now, I don't think it was so bad in North Carolina and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I believe more in Virginia than it was in North Carolina.
Yeah, I know there were slaves because my grandmother has told me.
In Virginia.
Yeah. Was there any difference that you know of between black people who had been slaves and free persons? Well, you didn't know of anybody that was free, so you can't really answer that.
No, because...
Yeah, did your older relatives ever tell you about the way that white people treated blacks?
Well, I tell you, some of them treat them good and some treat them bad.
Hmm.
You know how they were freed? Didn't those people from the North came in freedom?
Well, the Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And...
I know I heard them talk how they came down and how they went through the people's houses eating up whatever they could find, whatever they had cooked.
They did?
Yes.
They just helped themselves to
the
food?
They sure did.
Sound like they ate more than they helped.
Sound like I bet they was hungry. They wanted something to eat. And all. And they called them the Yanks, yeah.
The Yanks?
They had a song they used to sing about the Yanks.
Oh, what's the song?
Yanks are coming, wasn't it? I don't know the song.
Yanks are coming and
I don't remember
the end of it. Just Yanks are coming.
I believe that's a war song about the Yanks.
Oh, okay. You think that was more a war song than a freedom song. Do you know of any freedom song that they sang? I'm sorry, say start again.
Yes, I can't think back that far, not right off the bat.
Maybe right.
Give me some time, I probably could think. But I thought they came down and freed the black people, didn't they? How were they freed? That's the way they were freed, I believe.
Well, there are different versions of what happened in different areas.
And that's why so many of them couldn't find nothing to do, no work, and they went north.
Oh, you're talking about the black people
who
left here after they were freed.
Yeah.
You think a lot of them went north.
They did, and still going, it seemed like, but most of them not coming back because it's better in these small towns now, the older ones anyway. And some of them don't ever come back. That's how they got there, by them people coming down freeing them.
What did your... older relatives did they ever warn you about white people? How you were to be careful around them or anything like that? You didn't get those kind of warnings?
No, I didn't. You know, my father, his best friends was white people. And they always taught us how to respect people and everything. Well, that's how my father mostly got on his feet. Through them, they liked him.
He was such a good workman.
Yes, he was. And they respected him too for that.
So he got along very good with white people.
Very good. He didn't have no trouble. Only thing he had one time was with this boy, but that was no trouble much. After this boy didn't know no better. He was competent all right, and they sent him for his helper, you know, like he got to have a helper. This white man, he had his office downstairs, and he sent this boy, I don't know whether it was his boy or who boy. Now I want you to go up there and help Jim. Now you do what he tell you to do. Well, the boy didn't know who he was going to help. He went on up there and saw he was a black man. He wouldn't do what he told him to do. He'd tell him to do so-and-so. So the boy just stood back and didn't do nothing. And my father looked. So he just went on downstairs and told the man in the office about it. He said, now you sent that boy up there to help me. He said, he's not doing a thing. He said, and if he's not going to help me, you just take him away. I'll go get me somebody. So the man talked to the boy. Now my father told me this. And Toll said, you do what Jim tell you to do. If you want that job, if you don't, you won't have no job. So that boy went on back upstairs where he was working up there in that mill. I think he's working in the mill, fixing window glasses, something like that. And he went on up there after the man gave him a good talk, and he went on doing what he told him to do.
And he did work for your father, wasn't he?
Yes, he did help him.
Finally, he saw the light.
That's right.
Do you remember hearing about lynching? Were there any lynchings that you know
Oh,
of?
I heard about it, but they didn't do that around here. I heard about how they used to sell slaves, though, when they would go over there to get them.
All right.
And they had a slave block right up here on this hill in Marshall Lee Place. I was told that. And they put them up there to examine them. They look in the men's mouth, see if they got good teeth, and they would see if they're healthy, you know, they're big and strong. And they would buy them. That's how they'd bring them from over in Africa, I believe, and bring them here and sold them.
And this was just right up the street here?
That's right up there. And a lot of people don't know that, but my aunt, or some of my old people told us that.
What street was that, Main
Street? On the same street.
Oh, this street,
West Green Street is right down the street right above Ben Cube Barn, there to the left, just as you get to the, just before you get there to the traffic light.
That's where the slave
on that hill, that's where it was.
My goodness.
And so that's the way they would examine people to know whether they were healthy, because they didn't want no little weekly question to work from. They want these healthy people, and that's how they choose their slaves, they call them slaves, workers.
Do you remember how black people were treated by the law when you were young or when your parents were young? Do you feel they were treated different by?
I know they were treated different in the war, because I heard about that. But I wasn't there. That's in World War I. Now, the Second War, I don't think, was bad. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty bad, because my youngest brother told me about that.
In the service, they were treated
differently. Yes, they were treated different in the service.
What about the law, say, right here in Pendleton, policemen? Did they treat the black people differently?
I think it's better now. I think they treat them all just about alike.
Now?
I can't see no difference. Maybe some little difference, though, a little bit somewhere, because some of it ain't going to never weigh out, I don't believe.
But you think there was a difference when you were small,
yeah,
the way they were treated?
Yeah, very much difference.
How did married couples in your family treat each other? Was one person the boss? Or did
they marry?
Mm-hmm.
They got along better now than these people get along now, because they did marry back then, but now they just go and live together. And when they married back then, they stayed together and raised their families. But now, good Lord, you don't know who is who.
That's the truth.
These children go turn around and marry their own sisters and brothers. They ain't gonna know no better. But it's just that bad. It's worse than I was in slavery time. No worse.
Because you feel there are less marriages and less...
And these girls having babies now, where is the man? Because my mother and father and all their sisters and brothers, all of them lived together until they died and they had their families. And their mother stayed there and took care of the children.
And they were all married and had regular families.
Mm-hmm.
Married. Not the way it is.
But now these women have... They want to work. They want too much. The woman is the man of the house now.
Mm.
So they don't stay home and let the man take care of the family. No, they want too much. That's why so many jails filled up.
Yeah, it's because it's want.
No, the mothers are not staying home taking care of the children. They're putting them in a home somewhere. They don't know who to tell them so.
Oh, gee.
Do you think this world any better? I think it's worse.
Doesn't seem as law-abiding, does it? Or
nothing at all.
Or morally as good.
And all this criminal stuff they have here on TV, I don't want to hear it. It scared me to death. People killing their own children. You didn't hear much about like that way back.
That's right.
Not from families, but their own children.
Do you remember your older relatives ever talking about black women who had relationships with white men or anything of that nature?
Well, they did. Because if they didn't, there wouldn't be so many like. Hope you're not taping what I'm saying.
Well, just taping some of this. We won't tape it if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
When you were growing up, did black people treat mulattoes any differently from other blacks? People of more mixed color, that's more obvious. They treat them any
so.
Different?
No,
you
don't
think so?
So. No,
they treat them better or worse?
They're about the same.
About the same?
Yeah, just about, you couldn't hardly tell the difference.
Were you ever aware of people who passed for white?
Well, I knew some left away from here did it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do it yet because everybody knew them here.
Right. It's too small a town.
They had to go farther. And they got better treatments, you know, way back then. Because they was treated better. They didn't have as much privilege as they would
down
if
here.
They had stayed here.
Because
I know one boy went away from here. And he went north. And the Lord, he just forsook his family and went on with the other race. And there was a man raised right here in this town, Arch Maxwell. He was just as fair as any white boy, and he would work here for Dr. Day. Was it Dr. Day? They had a livery stable. You know, the people hire horses to ride and buggies and things, and he would drive for them. He was a mechanic, too, and that man couldn't read. He didn't know A from B, but he was a natural-born mechanic, Arch Maxwell. So this particular day, these boys, white boys, he was going to drive them somewhere in a buggy with no cars. And he said, now you put on your best clothes, Arch, and you dress up, because you're going anywhere we go, you know, when they go in these cafes and eat and everything. We couldn't go with them. And so we want you to go right along with them. He did. When he went home, he put on his little best clothes, everything, and he went right along with them everywhere they went. Cafe, and he said, well, they couldn't tell the difference. He had his straight hair, just black and real fair color, and cleaned himself up, and they didn't know the difference. He sat right down there and ate with them.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm. They liked him. Some of these white people was crazy about the black people that worked with them, but some of them wasn't.
Right.
No.
How about Indians? Did you know any people with Indian blood?
Well, we got Indian in our family. My grandfather's wife was part Indian, my father tell me. Reuben Thompson, his mother.
Reuben Thompson's mother had Indian blood.
Sure did, because my father, a lot of people could see Indian in him. I know I was working for this lady at Clemson. She was bringing me home, and her mother was in the car with her. Her mother lived in Florida. And she said, Cornelia, your father at home? I said, yeah, he's living home. And the lady I worked for, she said, well, I ain't never seen your father. Well, they was bringing me home in the car, and my father was coming home. And we had to pass him. I said, there's my father right now in the street, going home. And so my lady I worked for, mother, said, oh, he's an Indian. See, she could see it in him.
My goodness.
She jumped back and said, oh, he's an Indian. I said, yeah, we are no Indians. But that's just how much Indian he had in him, and somebody could see it.
Right. That would be the Cherokee Indians.
Must have been.
In this area.
Mm-hmm.
Were people with Indian blood or Indians treated any differently that you know of?
I don't think so. Yeah. They were stern people, I know the Indians were. I believe they were. Mm-hmm. Have you not heard that?
Yes, ma'am. You said your father was very quiet. Think that might have been the...
And he was stern, and what he said, he meant it, and what he didn't, he didn't. That's why people liked him so well. He was so honest. They say that's the way those Indians are. It's Indian territory up here. You know, those Indians hadn't long left this place. When I was young, when we was living out in the Old Grove community, I was very little. And I told you about my father hired a man to help him on the farm. We would go out there in the field, and we would see a little patch of rocks, little teeny rocks, just over on a little mound like that, all over that field. And we say, what did this mean? And my father say, that's where they buried the Indians. That's an Indian grave. And that was in 1901, 1903, long in there. Well, they hadn't long left this country. And look, and after plowing and cultivating that land, so they plowed, did away with all them little graves, little mounds. That was an Indian grave. We used to find them little Indian rocks. Little pretty things look like little arrows. It was all out there in the field, cotton field. Mm-hmm. Well, those Indians used to live all around here. Mm.
When you were young, did you go to Greenville very often?
I didn't know what Greenville looked like. I didn't know. A long time before I ever went to Anderson.
Did you go to Anderson very often?
No, I don't think I went there twice when the show was there.
How old were you when you first went to Anderson?
I was in my 20s when I was.
Oh, so you hadn't been to Greenville or Anderson until you were over 20.
Yes, I was over 20 when I went to Greenville. I worked over in Greenville then, and I lived over there with the people I was working with.
Hmm.
That was in 23, I believe. In 23, 4, 5. I think I stayed over there about 3 years, and they moved. They were northern people. They moved back to Geneva, New York. They had two little boys. I took care of those children. Cooked or cleaned up. I didn't know how to cook much.
Was this in Greenville or Anderson?
That was Greenville. Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed over there with him. I stayed right in the house. I'd come home some weekends until those people moved away. Then I came home to live, to
Were there more jobs available in Greenville then than
I don't know, but I just went home back home. It wasn't, I came home, then I went to work at Clemson. That was the only place I could find work then. Most all the people from Pelham worked at Clemson on account of that college.
Oh, did you work at the college?
Yeah, I worked at that hotel they had up there.
Oh, what hotel was that?
That wasn't this Clemson house. That was that old hotel.
Oh, okay.
I never worked in the Clemson house. And I worked in that old hotel.
Do you remember the name of it?
All it was a hotel. It was just all the name hotel. I think it had.
Probably.
Old plank building. After these people went back north, I came home and I got a job up there and I worked up there until 1929. Then I went to Charleston. I lived down there for 7 years. I was down there in Hoover's lifetime and when the Depression was on. Well, I went to work as a chambermaid for these rich people that was adjusts. That was the best job I'd ever had.
My goodness.
Because this woman, they was millionaires. All I had to do, I was a chambermaid. All I had to do was take care of upstairs, take care of her bedroom, her bathroom, her clothes, and things like that. That's all I had to do. Because they had this Mr. Adger. He was a man who had this just shaky.
Oh.
And he had a valet to take care of him. And this woman had a cook, she had a chauffeur, cook and a chauffeur,